Il-program li ser tisimaw huwa miġjub lilkom bix-xewqa t-tajba ta' rappreżentanza tal-Kummissjoni Ewropea f'Malta. Campus FM jippreżenta Il-Balomba, program li jagħti ħarsa lejn l-aħħar żviluppi relatati mal-istituzzjonijiet Ewropej. Produzzjoni u preżentazzjoni Jasmine Saliba.
Madu tajba jina ġezmin saliba nsalmilkom nil-ħakom għall-edizzjoni ta' din il-ġimgħa tal-programm il-Balomba. Programm tal-am rappresentanza tal-Kummissjoni Ewropea f'Malta li fiħsen nittrattaw numru ta' soġġetti. Nibdew bl-ewwel item. Item li tieħodna ftitlura fil-ġranet meta kien hemm żjara, il-President tal-Kummissjoni Ewropea Ursula von der Leyen u l-President tal-Kunsill Ewropew Charles Michel għamlu fit-Turkija. Il-laqa kella numru ta' aspetti li kienu qegħdin jiġu diskussi fuq relazzjoni bejn iż-żewġ pajjiżi li mhux dejjem kienet fost l-aqwa. Ħafna minn dak li kien diskuss kien ukoll biex ngħidu koskurat minn inċident li kellu u possibilment kellu għadd ta' reperkussjonijiet fuq livell diplomatiku anke interni. Hekk kif dak kien sejħ Sofagate fejn il-Gvern Tork prepara żewġ siġġijiet li għedhom minnhom Charles Michel u lieħor il-President Turk Erdogan u ħalla lil Ursula von der Leyen għall-mumenti speċi ta' xi trid tagħmel fejn titpoġġi. Inċident li wasal għal numru ta' reazzjonijiet ħafna mill-attenzjoni, però aħna ħanfukaw fuq attualment x'kien diskussu u intqal waqt din il-laqgħa bil nisimgħu attualment il-President tal-Kummissjoni Ewropea Ursula von der Leyen x'kellux idej dwar dan is-suġġett.
Indeed, Turkey shows interest in re-engaging with the European Union in a constructive way. And we've come to Turkey to give our relationship a new momentum, and in this respect, we had an interesting first meeting with President Erdogan, and indeed we discussed four areas in depth in which the European Union and Turkey would have both benefit from enhanced cooperation. The first area is the one where we want to strengthen our economic ties. The European Union is Turkey's number one import and export partner, and European companies are a crucial source of investment, and Turkey, within the customs union, is an important partner in many crucial value chains we have. To stimulate trade further, we will address the current difficulties we have without any doubts in the implementation of our customs union. And we will work to modernize our customs union's framework. This customs union is a unique framework we have with no other country. And therefore we are in addition looking into innovative ways not only to modernize the customs union, but also to boost public and private cooperation with a focus on the green and the digital transitions. The second area of enhanced cooperation are the high-level dialogues. Topic number one should be in a high-level dialogue, the fight against climate change. This is a common concern, and we all sense by now the danger that we are facing with increasing climate change and the follow-up consequences in our countries. Therefore, this should be one of the major topics in a high-level dialogue. The second one is for sure public health. We have been discussing the COVID situation, we have been discussing the vaccination progress, the variants, and of course topics like the green digital certificate and other ones connected to the COVID situation. The third topic we've been discussing is that the European Commission will explore ways to strengthen cooperation on people-to-people contacts and mobility. The participation of Turkey in the European Union programs, such as, for example, Erasmus Plus or Horizon Europe, has proven very valuable in the past, and this is a cooperation we would be interested in expanding it to the coming years. I believe this is of benefit for the two of us. And the fourth area of cooperation is concerning refugees and migration. The EU-Turkey statement of 2016 remains valid and has brought positive results. This is mainly with regard to the Syrian refugees and their host communities in Turkey, but it is also true for combating human trafficking and smuggling. And therefore, we expect Turkey to stand by its commitments and to deliver on them. This includes preventing irregular departure, and it also includes resuming return operations from the Greek islands to Turkey without any delay. This is for us a crucial commitment, and it would be a major show of goodwill that this migration cooperation does work. On our side, we will continue to support refugees and host communities. By this, we're supporting Turkey, that is hosting 4 million refugees and living up to this challenge. Basic humanitarian needs, education, and health care will remain priorities, but EU funding should in the future increasingly power better opportunities for refugees to earn their own livelihood. I'm very much committed to ensuring the continuity of European funding in this area, and our support is clearly a sign of Europe's solidarity to Turkey and an investment in shared stability. And this is not only concerning Turkey, but this is also true as well as for other important host countries, for example, Lebanon or Jordan. I will travel to Amman later this afternoon to discuss these topics with the Jordan King. The Commission will soon make a proposal that reflects these principles. Last but certainly not least, we're aiming for an honest partnership, and that means that a partnership between the EU and Turkey enables us to strengthen what brings us closer, but also to be very frank and to address what divides us. And today, Charles Michel and I clearly underlined that respect for fundamental rights and the rule of law are crucial for the European Union. This must be an integral part of our relationship. Turkey must respect international human rights rules and standards, to which, by the way, the country has committed itself as a founding member of the Council of Europe. I am deeply worried about the fact that Turkey withdrew from the Istanbul Convention. This is about protecting women and protecting children against violence, and this is clearly the wrong signal right now. The European Union will never hesitate to point out further negative developments, and this is also true for unilateral actions against EU member states like Greece or Cyprus. In sum, we want to move forward towards much better relations in future, but we are at the beginning of this road, and the weeks and months ahead will show how far we can go on this road together.
Tema oħra li tibqa' rikorrenti, ovvjament hija l-kwistjoni dwar is-sitwazzjoni tal-qassim tal-vaċċin, il-provvediment, il-produzzjoni, il-verifiċi neċessari illi kontinwament ikunu qegħdin ukoll jibqgħu taħt il-lenti anke tal-istituzzjonijiet Ewropej e kif l-Unjoni Ewropea għandha wieħed mill-ikbar kuntratti li qed tibmanta ministra ġeddet jew inkella tirrevoka, fid-dawl ta' numru ta' sitwazzjonijiet li żviluppaw ma' uħud mill-produtturi tal-kumpaniji farmaceutiċi. Se nisimgħu l-aħħar aġġornamenti li tagħti il-President tal-Kummissjoni Ewropea Ursula von der Leyen dwar dan il-suġġett.
The COVID pandemic remains a severe threat to people's health and to people's livelihood. We are in a race against time. The faster we reach our target of having 70% of the adult population in Europe vaccinated, the better the chances we have of containing the virus. And the good news is vaccination is picking up speed across Europe. Member states have received over 126 million doses of vaccines as of yesterday. And I'm happy to say that today we have reached the 100 million vaccinations in the European Union. This is a milestone that we can be proud of. Of these 100 million vaccinations, more than a quarter are already second doses. That means that we have now more than 27 million Europeans fully vaccinated. And this is good news. But as we can see with the announcement by Johnson & Johnson yesterday, there are still many factors that can disrupt the planned delivery schedules of vaccines. It is therefore important to act swiftly, anticipate, and adjust whenever it is possible. And we are doing everything in our power to support Europe's vaccination rollout, also by increasing the supply of vaccines in the coming weeks and months. And this is why I'm pleased to announce that we have reached an agreement with BioNTech Pfizer to once again speed up the delivery of vaccines. 50 million additional doses of BioNTech Pfizer vaccines will be delivered in quarter two, beginning in April. Those 50 million doses were initially foreseen for delivery in the fourth quarter of 2021. Now they are available in the second quarter of 2021, that is right now. And this will bring the total doses delivered by BioNTech Pfizer to 250 million doses in the second quarter. These doses will be distributed, the 50 million doses that we have now additionally, will be distributed pro rata population among the member states. And I think this will substantially help consolidate the rollout of our vaccination campaigns. I want to thank BioNTech Pfizer. It has proven to be a reliable partner. It has delivered on its commitments, and it is responsive to our needs. And this is to the immediate benefit of the EU citizens and population. But let me also focus on the medium term. To prepare for the future, we are drawing the lessons from the first phase of our answer to the pandemic. It is clear that to defeat the virus decisively, we will need to be prepared for the following. At a certain point in time, we might need booster jabs to reinforce and prolong immunity. And if an escape variant occurs, we will need to develop vaccines that are adapted to the new escape variant, and we will need them early and in sufficient quantities. And having all this in mind, and having learned the lessons in this pandemic, we need to focus now on technologies that have proven their worth. mRNA vaccines are a clear case in point. And based on all this, we are now entering into negotiations with BioNTech Pfizer for a third contract. This contract will foresee the delivery of 1.8 billion additional doses of vaccine over the period of 2022 and 2023. And it will entail not only the production of vaccines, but also the essential components. All of that will be based in the European Union. The negotiations we are launching today, and I hope to conclude them very rapidly, are a further important step in Europe's response to the pandemic. Other contracts with other companies may follow. We are in this together, and we will win this fight against this pandemic together. Thank you so much.
Il-futur ta' l-Unjoni Ewropea huwa t-tema ta' konferenza li tkellimna kif kienet imnedija ftit tal-ġranet ilu. Konferenza li għandha lan li tħares lejn aspetti varji tal-istess istituzzjonijiet tal-Unjoni Ewropea u il-mod kif daw għandhom ikunu imġi maġġornati għal situazzjoni illi hemm fil-momenti illi ninsabu fihom. Niftakru ħafna minn l-aspetti tat-tibdiliet tal-konferenza tal-BDD ispirati mit-tluq tal-Renju Unit minħabba l-kwistjoni ta' Brexit, però eventualment ukoll kien hemm numru ta' deċiżjonijiet ikellu jeħtieġu illi jkun hemm momenti ta' ħsieb dwar kif ser tiġi indirizzata. F'dawn l-ħarġan saret it-tnedija ta' aspett importanti ta' din l-istess konferenza li hija il-qasam partikolari u speċifiku marbut ma' qafas digitali li ħares lejn din id-dokumenti u l-aspetti kollha relatati ma' din il-konferenza li għandha t-tema The Future is in Your Hands. Il-konferenza dwar din il-pjattaforma digitali li ġiet imnedija kienet indirizzata fost l-oħrajn mill-Viċi President tal-Kummissjoni Ewropea Dubravka Suwiska li waħda mill-co-chair persons tal-istess kummissjoni u tal-kummissjoni li se tkun qed tuħsib il-konferenza twali dwar il-futur tal-Ewropa.
Now, good afternoon, everybody. You're very welcome to the Commission's press room on the event of the launch of the multilingual digital platform today on the Conference of the Future of Europe. I'm absolutely delighted to be accompanied here in the press room by Vice President Dubravka Suwiska, Secretary of State for European Affairs of Portugal, Ms. Ana Paula Zacharias, and Mr. Guy Verhofstadt, MEP. We will have a few opening statements, and then we will show you our video on the digital platform before taking some of your questions. Before I kick off, just to point out that we have interpretation available today in English, French, German, Portuguese, Croatian, and Dutch. So without further ado, I pass the floor to you, Vice President.
Thank you. Good afternoon to everybody. It's a real pleasure for me to be here with you today. Together with my conference co-chairs, Ana Paula Zacharias and Guy Verhofstadt, at this rather historic moment, if I may say, for the Conference of the Future of Europe, the official launch of the multilingual digital platform. As you know, the three institutions, namely European Parliament, the Council and the European Commission, are together in this joint endeavour. We are joined in this by national parliaments, regional and local authorities, as well as civil society and social partners. This truly ambitious conference reinforces our representative democracy. It responds to the needs of citizens by bringing them into the heart of policymaking in the European Union. We insist that citizens must be at the center of the conference. This is why today we are opening a brand new innovative space for them to start debating about Europe's challenges and the topics that they consider important. All topics and ideas are welcome. The digital platform we are launching together today will allow the discussions to start immediately. This is particularly important in the current health conditions, which oblige us to communicate almost exclusively in a virtual way. People and organizations will be able to float their ideas on the platform, see and comment and or endorse others' ideas, interact with other Europeans, see events taking place close to where they and even organize their own events. We have ensured that it is available in all 24 official languages of the European Union to enable a truly pan-European debate to take place. For example, an Italian who wants to follow the debates in digital transformation in Finland will be able to see all inputs in Italian, wherever they come from, and be able to comment on them. All contributions are immediately translated. This is a true innovation for European democracy. This platform will ensure full transparency of all discussions and ideas. It will be the hub of the conference, the place where the conference-related activities will be collected, monitored, and published throughout the conference. All contributions from local events, European citizens' panels, and conference plenaries are also shared on the platform. You will find 9 key topics for debate and deliberation. They range from climate change to health to social justice and jobs. But this list is not exhaustive. We have created an open box for citizens who want to engage on other topics of their interest too. This reinforces our commitment to ensure that the conference is a truly bottom-up, with people themselves taking the lead. This citizens-led exercise will address all Europeans, and in particular young Europeans, including children, who will play a central role in shaping the future for the European project.
Now, we call all of you to join us, to engage, and blaze the trail for the Europe you want. The future is yours, and the future is in your hands. Thank you very much.
Kelly, we hold the conference. Kien il-membru parlamentari tal-Parlament Europeo, Guy Verhofstadt, il-ukoll tkellem dwar din il-konferenza u l-importanza tagħha fil-kuntest ta' dak li ġie imniedi.
Yeah, thank you very much. So yesterday, ladies and gentlemen, it was the 18th of April, and the 18th of April in 1951, that's 70 years ago, the first type of European cooperation and European integration was launched. It was, in fact, on the 18th of April, 1951, that the European Steel and Coal Community was launched. So I would say, we could not organize it on a Sunday. The Commission was not open, I think, yesterday, but it is a good moment to launch this digital platform as the start of our work in the Conference on the Future of Europe. And it is, in fact, an unprecedented exercise, as Commissioner Switzer has already indicated. It is not a consultation of the citizens. It's not a Eurobarometer, a consultation of the citizens, what we are launching today as the flywheel of the conference, but a totally new interactive instrument where people can participate in different ways as they want. They can participate in a passive way, simply by taking an account on the platform as a citizen of Europe and by getting information on the conference. They can participate in an active way to the conference by putting opinions or participating in a debate on opinions on the future of Europe. That's an active way. And you can even, that's the third new element, be an activist in the conference of on the future of Europe by creating your own event and elaborating, putting it on the platform that we are launching today. So that has never been done in the past. In the past, it's always, an organization where we pay for that goes to the citizen, asking their opinions, putting them in a beautiful Excel sheet and showing that to the public. This is not the case with the interactive digital platforms today. It's a little bit, I should say, the social platform, the core, the engine, the flywheel of the whole conference that gives the possibility to every citizen to participate. And the results of the platform, what comes out of the platform, because all this will lead to a number of conclusions, will be the basic material for the second phase of the conference, and as the citizens' panels that will be organized not only on regional, local level, on national level, but also for the first time on European level. I know citizens' panels is not new. We have seen that in Ireland. We have seen that in France. But it will be for the first time in history that we do it on a transnational level. Then we do it on a European, framing, bringing together citizens from the 27 member states to discuss what has been achieved on the platform. And the platform will then later on take up, again, the results of the citizens' panels. So there's a reason why I'm using the word flywheel. Not I am an addict of engines, not longer of electric engines, and now not longer of other ones. But I think this is a real enormous tool that we are creating, and the purpose is naturally then later on with the conference and with the results of the citizens' panels to develop that new vision for the future of the European Union. I know that when we started this whole process a few weeks ago, and today with the launch of this interactive digital platform, there is a lot of skepsis. That's normal. But that was also the case 70 years ago. There was a lot of skepsis. When I remember that part of history very well, the British had the possibility to participate in CECA, and they refused. Winston Churchill was in favor.
but the Labour government at that moment was against, because he said, steel and coal, that's for us. Let's keep that in our own hands. And they did a mistake at that moment. Well, let's not make a mistake. Let's not be skeptical by this launch of this new instrument and the start of a real new phase in European history with the preparation of the Conference of the Future of Europe. Thank you.
Għarkellim għafdin il-konferenza kienet il-fannom tal-presidenza portugiza Ana Paula Zacharias. Li għanna ġdejt, dawn il-kommenti.
Thank you very much, Mr. Verhofstadt. Secretary of State, over to you.
Thank you very much. It is an honor indeed to stand next to the other two co-chairs, bringing together to this endeavor Parliament, Council, Commission, for the launch of this multilingual digital platform. As from today, the digital platform will become the center hub of the Conference on the Future of Europe, the place where all contributions from citizens will be brought together and will be shared. This, as it was said already, will be a truly bottom-up exercise. The European Union needs the power of its citizens behind it to make it stronger. It's all about to make Europe stronger. As such, this is a unique tool for participative democracy for all citizens. And the digital platform will bring Europeans into the public space. It will allow them to express their concerns, their views, their opinions, share their expectations, and to engage with their representatives, put forward ideas for organizing events. Citizens will be at the center of this platform, and they will be at the center of this conference. The platform will enable citizens for the first time at EU level to put forward all these comments to organize these events, but it also has another very interesting feature that it was not talked so far. It is the place where all the documents about the conference will be gathered in an exercise of transparency. So everybody will be able to see what are the main elements that are being discussed in the different elements of the conference. And this discussion comes at a crucial time. We have to prepare now. We have to be ready to build the European Union of the future when we overcome this pandemic. Now that we have this digital platform, we must use it. We must share it across member states. It is important that we all participate. And tomorrow at the European meeting of European Affairs Ministers, I will inform my colleagues of the latest developments on the Conference on the Future of Europe. And I will use this occasion to call on member states to promote it actively, to promote the platform, and also to engage in organizing events at national level involving all the needed and relevant stakeholders, and to prepare, develop their national plans for the activities they will organize, their contribution to the Conference on the Future of Europe. Guy Verhofstadt was mentioning the 70th anniversary of the Treaty of Paris. I say that spring is a time for renewal. And so this is good that we start now at springtime for this restoration, for hope. With the digital platform that we are launching today, we expect this to become the necessary springboard for the future of Europe. Thank you very much.
Bekk nġibitim l-edizzjoni ta' din il-ġimgħa tal-programm il-Balomba jiva daġġej ngħidlekom tal-attenzjoni u nawguragum il-komplement tal-ġimgħa tajja.
Għadkom kemm smajtu il-Balomba, produzzjoni u preżentazzjoni ta' Jasmine Saliba. Il-programm li għadkom kemm smajtu kien miġjub lilkom bix-xewqa tajba ta' rappreżentanza tal-Kummissjoni Ewropea f'Malta.